This week's edition of the Love Know-It-Alls podcast is sponsored by our friends over at Movement Watches. It's that time of year again. Valentine's Day is creeping up, and that's right, you lovers out there. It's time for a present for your special bae, and Movement Watches is here to help. Because if you don't already have a great watch, first off, it's hard to keep track of the time. So let this be your reminder. Movement Watches, spelled MVMT, and their stylists, they've curated an interactive gift guide to help make Valentine's shopping painless. You can find the perfect gift for him or her. Watches, bracelets, sunglasses, or any combination of these gifts, which are available in a limited edition watch. Movement Watches are founded on the belief that style shouldn't break the bank. That's why their goal is to change the way consumers think about fashion by offering high-quality, minimalist products at revolutionary prices. Over 1 million watches have been sold to customers in over 160 countries around the world. That's how Movement Watches have solidified themselves as the fastest-growing watch company. So get 15% off with free shipping and free returns by going to movement.com. That's M-V-M-T. .com/RHAP. That's 15% off at MBMT.com/RHAP. Join the movement.
Hey, did you hear Rob and Steven have a new podcast?
Wait, you mean those guys from Know It Alls?
Yep, now they're Love Know It Alls.
No way.
Yeah, and they need a new theme song.
I'm pretty sure we could take care of that for them.
Let's do it.
The hottest guys around, they're about to break it down, like they scored a million times before.
Oh, wait. I thought I was calling into Loveline?
The Love Know-It-Alls. The Love Know-It-Alls.
Yes, that's right. Thank you, Pia and Steve.
Love you, bae.
Love you, bae.
Yes, and of course, the great Steven Fishback is here. Steven, how are you?
Rob, so good to hear from you.
Yes, here we are. Yes. Back again.
Back.
Steven Fishback.
Back.
Steven, how was your birthday week?
It was really nice. I went to the opera with my fiance. We saw The Marriage of Figaro, and then we also saw Paddington 2. So we sort of had the two ends of the cultural spectrum.
Paddington 2. I had to ask Nicole about this because I'm like, oh, is Paddington, is that just some like a fancy name? Is it like a Dunkirk Paddington? I was like, is it about the bear? Does Steven go see kids movies?
Yeah, I don't think you have like the emotional intelligence to appreciate this movie. I think it's over your head, but I do think that the rest of your family might like it. Will love it. It's an amazing movie. It's one of the best movies I've ever seen.
One of the best movies of the year. Paddington 2. Okay.
Yeah, no, it was really awesome.
Okay, can't wait.
All right, well, we have a treat for you guys today because we have our first ever in-studio guest with us. We're very excited to have from the most recent season of Survivor, one of the hustlers. Here is Simone Wynn. Simone, how are you?
Hi, everybody. I'm so excited to be here. And I'm super excited to talk to you guys.
Yes, we're very excited to have you here.
I'm just bummed that the first lady of podcasting, Nicole, can't be here. I love her.
She's sleeping. She works nights on the weekends, and this is the daytime. So this is when she's like a vampire.
I understand.
Do you have to like speak quietly or sound
far enough away that Stephen, if you ever would, you know, come here one day, then I could show you, give you a tour and show you how the whole setup of everything.
Yeah, you could just tell me about it.
Yeah.
It's nice. Okay. It's real
and,
nice.
An added bonus that this is like show and tell. Simone is here to prove to us what great relationship and dating advice she has today, that she has brought her fiance here.
Hello.
Steve.
Hello. I'm here as an exhibit. You're only for illustrative purposes, and that's all.
Okay, so Steve is here. If Simone needs to either...
He also happens to be one of the patrons, by the way, to your group. So if anybody is not a patron or if anybody's on the fence, you know, come talk to us because Steve will know.
There's a special patron level that gets you into the studio.
Okay, all right. We haven't opened that up yet, but we'll see how it goes. All right, so very excited to have Simone here. Simone, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, we just saw I, Tonya last night, so I'm still feeling like a little negative, but I'll try to be as positive as possible just because like I really am trying to be like a very positive person and positive force in people's lives. So I'm ready to dish out the advice. Like if you're ready to
start. Well, we got some good questions today.
Okay.
Does I, Tonya relate to Survivor in any way?
I don't know if I'm the best person to ask. I'm not great at Survivor.
I, Tonya Vance?
You know... I'm not the biggest I, Tonya fan either. I thought it was like kind of a condescending movie, but you know, anybody who wants to watch that, like go out and do it, especially if you have MoviePass. Like I have this MoviePass thing that pays like you pay like $10 a month and then you can see as many movies as you want for free. So I've already seen like Coco, I've seen Jumanji.
Harrington 2?
I will eventually.
I, Tonya is a hustler.
Oh yeah, that's true. She is.
Okay.
So is Paddington.
Is Paddington a hero hustler or a healer, Steven?
I think he's all of those things. He's definitely a hero, right? The movie's about him. He's a healer because he touches us all emotionally. And he's a hustler because, you know, I don't think it's a spoiler to say that he has some, you know, troubles that he gets into in this movie. And he has to, find, you know, get out of them.
When we first met Paddington in casting, he blew us away because he is a guy who is a healer. He's a hero and he's a hustler.
And a ghost.
And a ghost.
And a ghost.
Is this a spoiler? Yeah. Oh my God. All right.
I want to say, Simone, I'm very excited to have you on the podcast. I've always felt a little bit of a Survivor kinship with you because we both had significant storylines about our GI issues. And but I want to hear about your engagement. How did you guys, Steve, how did you propose?
Oh, I let Simone tell the story. Go ahead.
He bought me a house.
Oh, that's
the
move.
That wasn't part of the engagement.
Is that a good move, Simone?
Well, you know, the morning that he engaged, like, he brought us to the house that he bought. And I don't know. I just, you know, at that point, like, he had bought me a house. I had felt very taken care of. We had gotten to this point where, you know, we were already, like, taking all these steps in our life. And when he proposed, like, on a cliff, on a beach, like, overlooking, like, the sunset in Malibu, you know, that was nice, too. But it was kind of like the next clause to a sentence that was being written for a long time.
Wow. Steven, that's like what you did, too, right?
I did not buy a house. So this is great advice, though, for anyone who's kind of like trying to figure out how to lock up that special person in their life. You know, buy them a house.
Yeah.
How did you propose to Julia again?
It was predetermined. I guess
what is it, an arranged marriage?
Yeah, no, we had a wedding venue locked up before I even proposed. There was no ambiguity. There was no question. You know, we're very structured people over here. We're, you know,
I totally get that. I chose my own ring.
Did OkCupid tell you to do that, Steven?
Yeah, they gave me a step-by-step instructions based on their algorithmic understanding of our personalities.
Okay. Oh, by the way, I heard you're having your bachelor party at Disney World.
Yes, very excited.
I'm getting married at Disneyland.
No, really?
Yeah, wow. Yes. I already have some reservations about it, like being Disney and being too froofy and like...
Goofy, it's pronounced goofy. That's the character there.
But yeah, like I didn't like buy a ball gown wedding dress because I just didn't want it to feel too kid-like. But who knows? Like maybe I should just like embrace it. Maybe I should just like embrace the fun, embrace the mouse, do everything. It feels really good.
Yeah, and Steven, I have to say, I do stand corrected. I was mocking when I first heard about your bachelor party at Disney World, but I ran it past my kids and they said, you were right, I was wrong. Disney World is awesome.
Yeah, I've been telling you that, man. It's gonna be magical.
So, all right. Well, let's get into the questions because we've got some really amazing stuff this week. Of course, that we get these questions all week long. My inbox is flooded with these love know-it-alls dating questions. KIA at robhasawebsite.com. You can also send us a voicemail question as well. robhasawebsite.com/voicemail. Steven, did you hear that Dr. Mike is working on sponsors for this podcast?
Oh, no, I didn't know.
Fleshlight.
Oh, wow.
We can talk offline about that. All right.
Yeah.
So, Steven, do you want to get us started with the first question this week?
Yes. So we've got Marius. Marius is a guy with a predicament.
Marius?
Yeah, like Marius, like from like Les Mis. It's M.
Oh, just
it's,
like we, that.
I just... What?
Like the Marius.
First with Figaro, now with Marius. Okay, go on.
Hi there. I am a 36-year-old bisexual male in Seattle. I have primarily dated women, but my most recent serious relationship was a 2-year relationship with a man. One of the conclusions I came to after that relationship had ended was that I wanted to be with a woman long term. However, now that I'm back in the dating world, no woman I've started seeing wants to date me after I tell them I'm bisexual and that I've had a serious relationship with a man. Originally, I had specified in my online dating profiles that I was bisexual and got next to zero interest from women. I have since put that I'm straight and instead have come out as bisexual to any woman I'm seeing within the first 3 dates. Unfortunately, after I mention I'm bisexual, no woman wants to see me again, at least romantically. Most of the women seemed supportive when I told them, but all have refused to go on another date with me afterwards. One woman told me bluntly that she was sure I'd cheat on her with a man if we got into a relationship. I will add that I've always been fully committed in any relationship I've been in, whether with a woman or a man. I'm starting to get really down on myself, and I'm really not sure what else I can do. I want to be honest with the woman I'm seeing and am hoping that my honesty will show my seriousness to being with them. My questions for all of you are, what am I doing wrong and what could I be doing instead? Additionally, I am curious if your guest would ever be okay being in a relationship with a bisexual man. Now, this is going to be tricky for you to answer, Simone, since you've got your fiance in the studio.
Yeah, she's not going to feel insecure about this. No,
she can answer hypothetically.
It's not a problem. Yeah. Like, I honestly feel like I could be wrong about this, but I don't think that your sample size is great because I feel like anybody who has a problem being with a bisexual man, they're not really interested in being with you for you because if they're really scared about this type of thing and it's a part of your identity and it's part of something that you know about yourself, then it's good that you get them out of the running early. It seems like they're really not accepting. And I feel like this is something that's so basic to our society that it doesn't make sense that somebody would not be okay with this. Like, and, you know, people have a right to choose who they want to be with, but it's not like you dated like 140 people and somebody wasn't okay with this. This probably maybe happened like 5, 6, 7 times. And yeah, it's hard to go on 7 dates in a row and have this be a problem. But look, there are people out here who have no problem whatsoever dating somebody who is bisexual. And if they have a problem, let them go.
I have noticed, though, and I think you're absolutely right that, you know, this is such a fundamental part of Marius's identity that he shouldn't be with someone who can't accept that part of him. But I have noticed that women are more intimidated or more threatened by a guy who has experience with other men than men are of a woman with experience with other women.
This is a real predicament. And Bill Posley he's done a web series about this. And I believe that that he has come out as bisexual in the last couple of years. And in his web series, which I believe is, you know, comedic, he talks about that, the experience of coming out as bisexual is like, no, you're not bisexual. You're gay. And there are bisexual deniers that are out there as well. So
yeah, it's called biphobia.
Yeah. People are, you know, intimidated and a woman may feel like, okay, well, you know, he's on a date with me, but I don't know if this is going to last because I'm not sure that he's going to remain interested in me. Eventually, he's going to go back to wanting to be in a relationship with a man.
This might sound a little bit like an aside, but when I was in college, I took this class called History of Sexuality, and it kind of just talked about like when did like sexuality become such a big deal for people? Like, why is this experience like so tough? Like, why is coming out a thing that's pretty much an invention of like our generation? And it was the case that like in ancient Rome, like people's sexuality was decided by what class they were in. So for instance, like if you were a male citizen in Greco-Roman times, like you basically like you, because of your station in life, you were a person who had sex with younger men and women, and that would be considered like, oh yeah, that of course, like it's kind of like your taste in food, right? Whereas like if you were a person who, like, you know, you were a woman and, you know, you received oral sex from a man, that was considered lewd because it was all organized by power and sexuality. And it was much less a part of like who you are and more just like what you like and what your station in life is like.
Are you saying there are primary sources from the Roman times about oral sex? I can't believe it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Look it up. It's like a huge thing.
Wow. Who knew? Who knew?
Okay, bookmark that. Steven, so in terms of practical advice for Marius, what could he be doing differently?
I mean, I think I'm with Simone on this, right? Where, you know, being forthright is the only thing you can be. And especially given that this is who you are.
But he's saying it in his profile, but then he's saying that when he puts it in his profile, then he's not getting any responses from anybody.
I know it's also like hard to date without online resources, but I also think it makes more sense to meet people in real life when they get to know you, when you're not exactly like leading with your sexuality.
Why should he have to open with that in terms of that? I mean, if it was the other way around, where if he was, you know, he had been married to a woman and then he came out as gay, that I don't think that anybody would hold that against him of you're not really gay because you were married to a woman.
So maybe it's just like wait a few more dates, right? There's actual romance and then spring this on a person. But if a person has a problem with it and you're telling that to them, you know, what, 6 months into your relationship, you know, they might feel like you've not been totally forthright. I mean, not that, I mean, I don't know. Well, this is a tough one.
Marius, first, like, let me just say that you're not doing anything wrong. You probably haven't gone on enough dates. And it seems like, you know, you're beating yourself up for the way that people are reacting to you. You shouldn't have to apologize for who you are. Like, you know that this is part of your identity and you're willing to just own that. And I would much rather be with somebody who owned every part of themselves rather than just, oh, yeah, like I just need to be with somebody. And as soon as I'm partnered, like I'll figure it out. No, like you should just be with somebody who accepts you.
Yeah, maybe he's doing something else wrong on those third dates, too.
Do you mind if I address this for a second?
Go for it, Steve.
Yeah, because I went on a lot of internet dates long before I met Simone, of course.
How many, Steve?
A lot.
Listen to this, Steven. is it higher or lower than, is it a three-digit number?
Yes, easily a three-digit
number.
Well, yeah, a lot more than you think. So Anyhow, I have a lot of experience with these internet dates. And one thing that I can tell you is that people are looking for reasons to judge and discriminate against you because they're going in with zero information except your picture and a few words. And so what you tell them has this critical importance. But the thing is, what you tell them is going to be interpreted through a lens that has nothing to do with what you actually mean. So the thing is, if you, Marius, are saying to this person, like, I'm a bisexual, you have no idea how she's actually interpreting that. In fact, I believe that the woman you're talking to is probably thinking that it means something completely different from what it is. So I think that it's, number one, a part of timing. You got to figure out the right moment to disclose details that are really intimate. It has to be an instance where there's a mutualistic sharing that's taking place between the two of you. And you have to be in a place where you really feel like she can understand what you actually mean by it.
And I hate to say it, but there's also that, you know, there's that stigma that, oh, yeah, bisexual people, they just kind of want to, like, do it with everybody. So maybe somebody's, like, reading that you're bisexual and they think, like, oh, yeah, you're going to be a fiend. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not true in any way.
Yeah, because the way that Marius is bisexual or how he identifies in terms of his sexuality is probably really different from another person who calls himself bisexual, right? I mean, mm-hmm. He already said that he wants to be with a woman long term and maybe he's attracted to men in certain ways. But if he says he's bisexual to a woman, she might jump to conclusions about what that actually means.
Yeah.
She doesn't know him.
Yeah. He's 36 years old. I don't know how old the women that he, you know, is dating are, but I feel like people take longer to come around to certain ideas. And a lot of people, especially like in their 20s and early 20s, especially they're jealous. They're already insecure. They maybe don't always have things that are going on in their life that make them accepting, or maybe they haven't had experiences with different types of people yet. But
and I vote, I mean, don't tell them for a while. I mean, it's the same sort of thing for me. Like, oh, what do I do? I've been with so many partners. When do I tell the other person that? It's like, well, not up front. Keep, wait until the right time. We'll see if it comes up. That's a problem. It may never come up. You might break up with the person before you even get to that point.
Yeah. Join a bowling league. Like, stop meeting people online. Just meet people doing an activity where you don't have to lead with, like, this is who I am. Please judge me. And then say you want to go on a date with me. Like, it's not a job interview. They don't have a right to discriminate against you in that way if they're just meeting you out in the regular world.
Let's move on to our second question of the week. And let me just say that I have the best podcast co-host. I'm so lucky because that in our internal show notes, Stephen Fishback will even go in and correct my typos in the show notes.
Typos? Is that what
they
are?
In this document that nobody is ever going to see except for the two of us. We need to make sure that nothing gets misspelled.
Really. Not everything is just about, you know, who else is watching. You know, we have to have a fidelity to a certain standard, regardless of whether it's on public display.
Yeah.
You know what, Fishback? I agree. Like, okay, I'm going to side with Stephen on this.
Yes. Yeah. Stephen, would it kill you to see a squiggly red underline under a word?
No, I mean, honestly, often, you know, it makes more sense to turn off spell check. Spell check doesn't really get spelling.
It disrespects my last name, which is the most common Vietnamese last name in the world.
What does it change to?
It doesn't change it to anything. It just tells me it's a squiggle. And then I have to go through the trouble of adding it to the, like, the Microsoft Word dictionary as if, like, my existence needs to be justified to software.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you,
I don't think Fishback was in there either. I don't think Fishback was in the default settings for Word either.
I have the most common Vietnamese last name in the world.
Yeah.
All right. So Boo is a guy who wants to know how much self-deprecating humor is too much. He wants to know, Robin Steven, I'm a college student seeking to grow my self-esteem to help me find a girlfriend. I am a virgin. I've never had a girlfriend, but I attend a top 5 U.S. college and have many friends. Steven, that's impressive, right?
I don't know. It depends on what he's considering a top 5 college.
Top 5, baby. Similar to you, a lot of my humor is self-deprecating. And although that humor has certainly helped me make a lot of friends, I found that it has two downsides. One, girls tend to laugh with and be friends with a guy who makes fun of himself, but they prefer instead to date a more confident guy. And two, my self-esteem often gets pulled down by my own jokes, and the line between the joke and reality can get blurred. How do you two stay confident enough to be attractive to women and then still use self-deprecating humor? Or should I avoid using it altogether around women I'm attracted to? And do you have any other advice on how to boost my self-esteem around women despite my history of being rejected so often? Thanks, Boo.
Man, what kind of self-deprecating humor is that? He's like making himself his self-deprecating humor is so cutting that he's making himself depressed.
Yes.
That's really
is that
impressive or is that not impressive?
I don't know.
Excuse me, can I just weigh in and say that no self-deprecating humor is ever okay? Like, I'm a person who's person who's just really not okay with it, especially like in this case, because what he's talking about is like, oh yeah, the way that you talk to yourself impacts how you see yourself, and that's true on some level for everybody. And I, you know, I would say like a fairly confident person, but I really celebrate this in each person. Like, you need to learn how to love yourself and talk to yourself in a way that you can own who you are and not feel like you need to prove yourself to anybody.
Cut out the negative self-talk.
Simone, I feel like you really just challenged my entire identity by denying self-deprecating
humor. This is why
humor.
I always think that you're wrong. It's because it's because you talk to yourself in this way. And I know that that's not the way that's not your best self. Like, why don't you just be your best self?
Yeah.
But, you know, you're saying I can't joke about myself, but then you're telling me you always think I'm wrong.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, Stephen. I want to be nice to you.
No, yeah. I'm kidding. But, you know, I really disagree. I feel like being able to laugh at yourself is an incredibly important quality. Not taking yourself too seriously is a way to get through life, which can be challenging. And, you know, I do agree with Simone that maybe Boo's self-deprecating humor is, you know, maybe he's just being too hard on himself, and that's just a way of him, you know, being self-loathing, you know, if it's not humor and it's actually really is self-loathing, then that could make yourself depressed. And it could also scare off some other people, if, you know, because people do want to be around someone who's confident, you know, and they don't want to be around someone who just really despises themselves. So I think that if you can acknowledge, you know, the flip side to self-deprecating humor is being able to acknowledge your own virtues. And, you know, I for example, am an incredible speller, as Rob always likes to praise me. So yes. I can, you know, mock myself for my slingshot abilities while also being able to put my amazing spelling out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that. Like I never, you know, I agree with you. I don't think people should take themselves too seriously, but at the same time, like, you know, people sometimes joke in a way that like they say, oh yeah, I hate you, haha. They really do mean that they hate you, mm-hmm. you know, and they talk to themselves like this. And I, you shouldn't talk to yourself, especially when you're alone, in ways that don't make you feel good.
And in the case of Boo here, I think that a little bit of the self-deprecating humor goes a long way. And we don't know necessarily what he's putting himself down about, but nobody wants to be with somebody who is constantly reminding you of the reasons why you shouldn't be with that person, where if his jokes are like, oh my God, I'm so like, I'm so unattractive. Why would you be with me? Like, you know, yeah. I think that if you are really making the case, if you're saying like, maybe you don't have a nice car and maybe you make a self-deprecating joke about how much your car sucks, I think that that's fine. But I think that if you are really making the case about why you as a person, why you have all of these character flaws, like, don't do the job of selling the person on why they should go somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? You're at a top five university. Like, probably half the people who say they aren't virgins are probably virgins. Like, let's be real. Like, as somebody who went to a top five university.
I totally disagree with that.
No. As somebody who went to a top five university a lot more recently than you, Fishback, like, I feel a lot of people lied about their sexual experience and their dating history freshman year of college.
I was just at an alumni event where we were hanging out with a lot of
trading war stories
undergrads. And the things I was hearing about sexuality on campus, like, I was scandalized. I thought I was like a libertine in my college days. And I'm now like, I was scandalized. I'm now, it turns out, an old prude. So the things that I heard were happening on campus, like, I couldn't even handle it.
Yeah, but that's college campuses. Like, I also read somewhere that, like, you're much more likely to have had anal sex and oral sex if you have
ancient Rome.
No, ancient Rome too. But if you went to a four-year university, then if you didn't, mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of this like breeding ground where people of all different backgrounds come together and they experience different things. And you're much like a meeting of the minds. It's like a meeting of the other things.
The behind.
But you know, but yeah, like when you get to college versus like, oh yeah, you're a freshman. Yeah, eventually you're going to be there too. Like, if you want to do an orgy, do an orgy. There's time.
Okay. It's an elective. There you go. All right, Steven, you ready to hit a voicemail?
Let's do it.
Okay. Here is one from, we have listeners in Turkey for the Love Know It All, Steven. Can you believe this?
Oh, wow.
Okay.
When we do our Love Know It All's live show, maybe we can do it in
Istanbul.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Here's our listener in Turkey.
Hey Robin, Steven, and the third guest. I'm a 20-year-old gay guy from Turkey. I ended my 2-year-long relationship in last May, and ever since, I've been going through a slut phase. During this time, I met this guy in September and told him that I'm not looking for something serious. He told me that he sees me as someone he can be in a relationship with if I want it. I kindly rejected it, and we became friends with benefits. Lately, I feel like I've started to develop some feelings for him and thinking that maybe I shouldn't miss this smart, kind, and funny guy. Because being gay in Turkey sucks and it is really difficult to find a good partner. However, there are two problems if I tell him my feelings. Firstly, at one point in our talks, he told me that he's glad we're not in a relationship. Because his college is like a Turkish equivalent of an Ivy League school.
A top five school!
So he has to study really hard. Secondly, there's a possibility that he will apply for a school in Germany to do his master's degree. And if he gets accepted, he will go there in next September. And I don't think I can do a long distance relationship. So what do you guys think? Do you guys think I should just say, screw it, I'm going to tell him my feelings, or I should just continue to enjoy his company? Thank you for answering. Goodbye.
Okay, Simone, what do you have to say about our friend in Turkey?
Okay, first off, you're putting the cart before the horse here. Like, you are talking about being in a long-distance relationship with somebody someday, and you can't even, like, get him to be in a relationship with you. So strike that completely from your question because it's irrelevant. If you get together, then it will be a problem, and it'll be a problem that you face together down the line. But the first thing that you need to do is stop having sex with this person if you want to be in a relationship with him. Do not give him the goods, because if he thinks that,
do you believe this?
I believe it.
Okay.
It's going to just emotionally drain you to be with this person without being with this person. Then cut yourself off. Like, it's tough, you know, to say like, oh yeah, I want to give up this comfort of being with this person, but it's
tougher
in the long
term. What if you're in the middle of a slut phase?
You know what? There's other people in the world. I know that Turkey doesn't have a huge population, but there's always somebody new
to
meet.
Hard to meet a nice guy in Turkey, Steven.
There are nice guys everywhere. Nobody believes me.
Steven?
Well, the thing I would say, though, is just because someone said, oh, I'm so happy we're not in a more serious relationship, that doesn't mean that if you actually presented that option to them, they wouldn't be excited about that, too. You know, like, people can say, I'm happy to not be in a serious relationship. Maybe he's trying to convince himself of that. You know, maybe
also,
he's
pretty
happy,
insulting, isn't it?
But, yeah. What?
Also, it's pretty insulting, isn't it, to say like, oh, yeah, I'm so glad that we're not in a relationship together to the person
we
that you're in bed with.
Oh, my God. We dodged a bullet with that. Yeah, but hey, by the way, do you want to be in a relationship?
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, you know, who knows why he's saying it? Like, maybe he's trying to convince himself. Maybe he's, you know, maybe he is happy. But like, you know, he might also be happy if you suggested something else, you know, or changing it. I mean, just because someone says something, that's not like an immutable law of who they are. And I mean, you know that my attitude is nobody really knows what they want.
Yeah, you know, I think it's really hard for people to be honest with themselves about what they want. So I don't disagree with you there. I also don't believe that it's actually that complicated a question. He's probably not going to get into that university if it's as competitive as, you know, you think it is. And it's like, you can't bank on getting into Harvard. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know that he's going to go there. And even if he does go there, like, that's a remote possibility. How many years down the line?
It's a little ways down the line.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. All right, Steven, anything else you want to talk about our friend in Turkey?
No, thank you. Thank you for listening.
Okay. All right. Steven, could you give us our next question?
Yeah. H, who we'll call Hervé, is a guy who is being asked to consider an open relationship. What's up, guys? I wanted to get your opinion on a situation I'm in with my significant other. Don't want to talk to friends, family about it because it's a touchy subject. So I thought I'd reach out in hopes that other guys can benefit from whatever advice you give me. Long story short, my girlfriend of almost 3 years wants an open relationship, and I am confused about my feelings towards this. Here's a little background. Met on Tinder 3 years ago. She was my first and only Tinder date. She had a more lengthy struggle on the app before she found her knight in shining armor.
Irrelevant.
Moved in together in June after a few of our worst months as a couple. That was definitely caused in part by my being anxious about this step. Yet the last 7 months living together have been the best in our relationship to date. She is definitely more of the alpha in our relationship, and I am definitely the beta. She is more successful in terms of salary, more assertive, and more ambitious than I. I am the more laid-back, thoughtful, and level-headed of the two. Makes for a great match as we feed off each other's strengths. A couple hiccups aside, the relationship has been pretty amazing throughout the 3 years. Yet, there is one thing that is kind of eating away at me. She has brought up about once a year that she would like to explore having a type of Owen Wilson, Jason Sudeikis hall pass to sleep with other people.
That was like Dr. Mike and Ethan.
Did Dr. Mike have a hall pass?
Well, Dr. Mike's wife, infamously, that her hall pass was Ethan's on.
Oh, wow. Simone and I have a hall pass situation.
Yes.
So she got the guy who plays Doctor Who. And
any of them.
And I got
Doctor Who.
Any Doctor Who.
I'm into it.
And I got any person who has ever played Survivor.
Oh, wow.
We made this back in 2014.
This was before Simone liked Survivor. She didn't know what it was.
Okay, all right. Wait, hold on. We can still have this question. Hervé still has more to add with this.
Hervé's lady rationalizes this by saying that humans are non-monogamous by nature. And the reason so many couples end in divorce is because they are repressing the need to express themselves sexually with others. My thought on this has always been, I'm not really okay with it, but if you cheated on me, it wouldn't be an automatic breakup. I'd be level-headed and talk through the issues. Honestly, the thought of her sleeping with other people doesn't conjure up feelings of rage and embarrassment that I thought it would, but it does bum me out that just me isn't good enough. Also, I'm not Mr. Johnny Key Party. That classic archetype, Mr. Johnny Key Party.
That's pronounced fair play.
looking to swing with every Tammy, Denise, and Harry, but the thought somewhat intrigues me. Fast forward to last week, and she sits me down after coming back from a work trip and says that we need to talk. She talked with one of her coworkers who is currently in an open relationship and is now convinced that this is something she really wants to try. She even came to me with conditions. Can't be someone in our social circle, can only happen 2 to 3 times a year, etc. She also said that way more couples than you'd think do this. Being a bit of a pushover, I agree to this after telling her how it made me feel. It bums me out, but I'm honestly not totally opposed to it. I basically said, yes, go ahead, but A, don't tell me when it happens. B, use protection. And C, if you decide to leave me, I get to stay in the house until the lease is up. I'm worried that if I forbid this, that she will see me as a block to her achieving full happiness. The last thing I would ever want is to be known to her as a domineering, selfish, steamrolling person. Yet I also worry what saying yes says about me and how I see a relationship. Makes me look like a huge pushover, shows that I actually don't care as much about her as I thought, and totally leaves me vulnerable to being left out in the cold. All of this being said, what do you guys think the move is? A, stick to the plan, ha ha ha, and follow this open relationship myself. For B, forbid this open relationship and risk driving a wedge between us. Or C, full stop breakup because this isn't good news. I would love your opinion on this. I would love to know how either of you would react to this situation, yet I don't want either of you to get in trouble with your wives/fiancés.
Why would we get in trouble?
Yeah.
One last addition. He is 27, they are both 27, turning 28 in February. Cheers, Hervé from Toronto.
Okay. All right. Steven, I know that was a mouthful. Do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, this reminded me so much of that classic moment in Arrested Development when Tobias and Lindsay are talking about having an open relationship. And Tobias says many of his therapy patients have tried it out. And Lindsay says, well, has it worked? And he says, you know, no, they always delude themselves that it'll work, but it may work for us, you know, and it's just like, it's like everyone fools themselves into thinking that this is a workable solution. And is it ever?
All right. So first off, let me establish that, like, you know, for anybody that it works for, like, I'm not against open relationships. I think that that is good for whoever wants to go through it. There are a lot of difficulties to it. You have to be really well-versed in talking things out, and there needs to be like some baseline health to the relationship. But I think the real problem that's going on in this question, and Hervé, thank you very much for all the information and background you provided. I pretty much came to the conclusion that there's a lot of fake enlightenment going on. Like, she's just like, oh yeah, like, you know, everybody else just doesn't understand that, like, we're so sexually repressed as sexual beings. And you know, if only people were smart or enlightened like us, then they could explore it in this way. And, you know, I hate to say it, but a lot of people use, like, either cheating or, like, the suggestion of an open relationship as a gateway to more problems because they want to devastate their relationship. And, you know, don't let that happen to you where you think that, you know, if you really feel like this is opening the door to problems that you don't want to deal with, then don't open that door. Have another conversation. Because, yeah, it might be hard to reopen that, but it's even harder to go through the feelings like, oh, yeah, like, I'm not enough. Like, what's going on? Like, am I ever going to be good enough? Like, slow draining things like that are going to have more impact on you in the long run than a difficult conversation.
I also think that Hervé is kind of kidding himself that choice B, which is forbid this open relationship and risk driving a wedge between us, is actually an option on the table, because I don't think it is. I think it's either he can go along with this and be fine with it, or he could get out. And I think he should get out, because to me, this doesn't sound like that this is really a two-way street, because I think if he went out, and it sounds like that she's open to go do whatever she wants, it's not really going to be the same thing if he went out and found somebody else. And even if he didn't, you know, it's just basically, you know, he's not even saying like he, it sounds like he's like, oh, I'd be heartbroken. He's like, well, you know, it doesn't really bother me, but you know, if she cheated on me, or, you know, I get to keep the lease. It's not even that he gets to keep the house. It does. I get to stay in this rented apartment until the end of the lease is up. So I think that it doesn't sound like this is a healthy relationship. I think that he should just get out.
Yeah. And the
he deserves better, Irvay. Yeah.
Yeah, and Irvay, like, the fact that you don't get enraged by the thought of her being with somebody else, like, maybe that's a signal that, yeah, down the line, you'd be okay with her being with somebody else. There's other people in the world.
Yeah, and most importantly, right, like, as Simone was saying, if, you know, if two people are both excited about the possibility of an open relationship, like, maybe it can work from them. But, you know, just given the dramatic disparity between your guys' relative interests, it's not something you should go ahead with if it's not something you're comfortable with.
Okay. Yeah, and, you know, relationships are really more of a partnership. If you're describing her as the alpha and you're the beta, like, come on, what type of power dynamic is that to have?
It's not Cody from Big Brother. It's not Cody and Jess. He's the alpha. Okay. Let's, speaking of what Stephen, you just brought up about, you know, maybe there is a way that it can work. Let's segue into this next question, which is also about an open relationship. We got a lot of questions about this week. I don't know what was necessarily going on, but hey, Love No Dolls, this is JP from Alberta here. I've got a complicated question that you may not be able to help with, but it can't hurt to ask. It's probably too late for Natalie, which is unfortunate because it's perfect for her. If I miss her, you're able to get my question to her anyway.
Excuse
I appreciate
me?
It. I don't know why this question necessarily is perfect for Natalie Anderson, but we'll keep going. I'm a 32-year-old man. I've been married for 7 years, together for 12 with my wife. And my wife and I have a 4-year-old son together. Just before Christmas, we did some serious adulting and decided to open up our marriage.
Wow.
Now I find myself excited at the freedom to date again, but very uncertain about how to manage the elephant in the room. I have an overwhelming belief that I should be completely open and honest about my whole situation on my online dating app profiles, but I have no idea how to properly advertise that I am in a healthy and stable open marriage and not just lying about it being open just to get dates. Also, how do I make a profile that isn't intimidating or immediately off-putting? I'm expecting the responses, no thanks, I don't want to get in the middle of that. I was wondering how to best handle this, and I'm feeling very lost. If you'd like any further information about the context, feel free to ask. I'm very happy about my situation and answer any questions people have about jealousy or motivation or about the incredible and unexpected side effects of this lifestyle change. This is JP in Alberta. All right, so now this is like the opposite of the last email.
Yeah, I'm into it. He seems, maybe it's because we didn't get as much background.
Yeah, we didn't hear from the wife.
Yeah. But, you know, he describes it as he did adulting, which I'm going to take that as meaning like he went through some difficult conversations with his partner and then basically decided like, all right, well, this is a situation that's going to make us both excited again. And it seems like he's going about it in an honest way. Like, kudos to him for wanting to be upfront with people. I actually think that Steve is a good person to weigh in on online dating just because mm-hmm. he did it so much before he dated me. I've never actually been on an online date, so I kind of see why Natalie Anderson would be good for this question.
Yes.
Hun?
Steve, you never went on a date with somebody that was married?
Me?
Yes.
No.
They didn't put that in the profile?
No, nobody. My search specifically excluded married people. That's one of the great strategies that I learned on OkCupid.
That you could filter the search to exclude married people?
Not only percentages, but married people, yeah.
Like married before or married currently?
I think that you can look for people who are, there's something called It's Complicated, right? You can search for somebody who has like It's Complicated. Yeah, well, I don't want It's Complicated. So yeah, I excluded that.
Steven, did you ever see on an online dating profile a person that was married?
I'm pretty sure that I excluded married people too. I mean, I think that's why it's important for JP to be completely forthright is because, you know, a lot of people who are on online dating apps are looking for long-term potential marriage situations. And obviously JP is not going to be able to offer that.
You know, I've dated people who were like in the midst of a divorce before. Like I've dated people who were already divorced and have gone through situations. Like, I've talked about being in open relationships with people. I've never done it myself, but I feel like one tact that you could take is to go younger, because the younger that you go, the less likely that you're willing to find somebody who's seriously looking for a long-term partnership. And demographically speaking, like, you know, you need to go where the numbers are. And I feel like if JP wants to have like outlets in his relationship that are different from his current partnership, mm-hmm. he should go in that direction. And I also, I think the best way to be honest is just to put it out there. And if people are not okay with it, then let them be not okay with it.
But what should he put on his profile, though? Because that's his question, right? It's like, how do I make a profile that isn't intimidating or immediately off-putting? So yes, we all agree that like he should in some way be clear that he's married. But like, what are the things he's putting there to make people excited about him?
Okay, actually, I have a good answer for this, because I had this friend in college who, he was like ex-military, and you know, also like super like cool person, and he had like so much good online date. Like, people would message him all the time, and it was relatively rare because he's an Asian guy, and historically, like, or not historically, but statistically speaking, like, Asian guys do the worst on dating apps. And I one time looked at his dating profile, and it was all a joke except for the fact that he liked to have rough sex. Like, everything else was a joke.
It was a joke. What do you mean?
Like, he would never reference the fact that he went to Columbia. He didn't reference his military service. It would ask him something like, oh, yeah, you know, what do you like to do for fun? And then he would mention something about donuts. And then it would come up as a refrain in like 9 other questions or something like mm-hmm. that. So there wasn't a single serious fact about him. And because it was a complete joke, except for this one thing, which he was clearly looking for, people felt like it was not intimidating to them, because they had all the power, because this person clearly wasn't taking themselves too seriously. I don't think that you should go full bore and say like, oh yeah, this is my situation, let me lay out all the details for you, this and that and the other thing. No, like, people want to find somebody that they're going to have fun with.
He needs to find a woman who's okay being with a guy who is in this open marriage arrangement. It's almost like he should put all of that out there, and then the perfect scenario would be if then he gets the response from his wife, who's looking for the same thing they're meant to be.
Oh, my God.
It's like a Pina Colada song.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I love that song.
Yeah.
What is the Pina Colada song?
One of the great love stories of our time.
Steven doesn't know the Pina Colada song.
You don't know that song, Steven?
If you like Pina Coladas, okay. Getting caught in the rain.
The know-it-alls wand off. But this is this is very complicated, because when you're in this sort of situation, you know, you, let's say you meet somebody and it goes great. It's like, okay, well, let's go back to my place. It's like, hi, hon. Like, all right, are you using the bedroom tonight? Okay, we're going to be in there. You have to have your own room.
Well, I think we have to assume that he's got the logistics of like having sex.
I don't have to think about that.
Yeah, I think you just like, what, you know, and Simone is saying, you know, talk about donuts on your profile, because everybody loves donuts. But what, Rob, what do you think he should put on his profile? Did I correctly understand what your point, Simone?
Yeah, just don't really mention anything about yourself. You don't really need to tell people too much online about yourself. They're going to be basically looking at your picture anyway. And I'm also one of those people that thinks like online dating, even for like complicated situations like this, is not really the best way to go about it. It's a lot easier to like meet somebody like in a bar or at a club.
The people who are going online are, I think the vast majority of them are not really looking for something serious. A lot of them are, but like tons of the guys on Tinder aren't. Or if you go on OkCupid and you say you're looking for something casual, like, you know, tons of those guys have these weird circumstances. And I've had a lot of women friends who have gone out on these dates and the guy turns out to be married. So that's not necessarily a good thing. But his situation is not really that unusual, probably, when it pertains to like the population of online dating people.
There are also different platforms, right? Like Ashley Madison, isn't that like something for cheating? And then there are like dating websites that are only for Christians.
There's something
and
for
then,
everyone.
Yeah,
like,
and
you
I feel
be
like
deceptive, but at the same time, like, find your right niche on the online world.
Yeah, like the platform is really going to do most of the work for you, right? Because Tinder people are different from the OkCupid people, different from the Bumble, different from the Ashley Madison. So.
Yeah, I'd say just lead with what's going on and then see what the response is. Like our first person who was saying that he put it out there that he was bisexual and that was hurting the responses. Who knows? Maybe it's not going to hurt his responses that much.
Yeah, and if it hurts them, then you're just keeping away the people who might be not open to that. Like, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, because unlike that, oh, I've been in a relationship with a man in the past, this is, I am currently married to somebody right now, and that could be a deal breaker for a lot of people. Steven, what else do we have to talk about today?
Patricia is a woman who wants to know if her jealousy is normal. Dear Rob and Steven, I am a happily married woman, but I struggle with jealousy. I don't like it if my husband goes out and hangs out with a girl alone. I don't even like his friends who are girls to be at our house past the time when I go to bed and he's the only one up. I don't mind that he has friends that are girls. I just don't want him hanging out with them alone. Is this a normal reaction or am I too jealous and old-fashioned? Thanks for your help.
This is a good question, I think.
Yeah, I like this. I mean, listen, I have been in a relationship where I was jealous when my then girlfriend went and hung out with men. And it turned out I had a reason to be because she was cheating on me. And I have also been in a relationship. I am now in a relationship with my fiance who I completely have no problem when she goes and hangs out with men because I know there's no way, you know, I completely trust her. And I think she's just, you know, she's the most trustworthy person that I know. And so I think so much depends on your being able to accurately assess your husband. You know, I had a survivor parallel when I was reading this. You know, when I was in Survivor Cambodia, you know, I didn't have to worry if I saw Jeremy talking to Joe because I knew that Jeremy had my back. But I should have been worrying when I saw Spencer talking to Joe because, you know, Spencer didn't have my back and he was out to get me. So, you know, I think you've got to like try to assess, is my husband a Jeremy or is he a Spencer? And then, you know, based on your judgment, you know, kind of guide your feelings that way. You know, like if you really do trust your husband, then like, yes, it's like somewhat normal to feel jealousy, but don't, you know, don't dwell on those feelings.
I actually think that she's not crazy to be jealous in this scenario at all. I mean, she's talking about how, you know, her husband is, you know, hanging out with these women alone. Like, whoa, like what's going on? What's the circumstances that he's just has a female friend that's like his drinking buddy?
All right. All right. I'm going to just stand down and just like talk about this for a second, because I feel like, you know, yeah, I agree with everything that Fishback is saying. Like, yeah, assess your partner, but it sounds like this woman needs to go to therapy because it's not as though she, it doesn't sound like she distrusts anybody. And a lot of people are really introverted. I consider myself an introverted person. I much prefer to hang out with people one-on-one. And that's true for like all hours of the day. Like maybe if he doesn't want to meet them for a drink, maybe he'll meet them for a coffee. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But it seems like the jealousy is being described as if it's on her part and she wants to know if it's normal. Like, honestly, no, it's not that normal. Like, of course everybody has jealous feelings, but if you've got like a dynamic of trust, like Steve has with Julia and Jeremy, you're going to feel like, it's going to be okay. But if you say to yourself, like, yes, I trust my husband 100%. Like, I know that he would never do anything. Mm-hmm. These other people don't make me feel insecure. Like, that's something that you need to, you know, be honest with yourself. And I think that's really going to be the hardest part is saying, like, okay, well, it has nothing to do with this relationship and it has everything to do with me.
Right.
She mentions about how that these women are at the house past the time that she's going to bed. He's the only one up. I mean, what's going on that late at night?
Maybe he's just got some night owl friends.
Now, again, does he have a podcast? Are people coming over to the house to do podcasts? Because that's different.
Yeah.
But still.
Well, first of all, like, it's not like he's going to cheat on her in the house while she's in the house.
Look, I'm sure that's happened before.
I guess if that happened to me, I would feel so disrespected. I would just be able to easily defer. But if that does happen to her, then she can at least just say, like, goodbye. This is completely justified. Yeah. Everything that I was feeling was a way that I was processing the information faster than I could logically state out my reasoning. So, yeah, if your husband is the problem, then your husband is the problem. But if you're the problem, then you're the problem.
She needs
yourself.
I think, Simone, to get in his phone and start checking those text messages.
First of all,
are you crazy?
Never in your life.
Get in the phone.
Yeah. Never.
No.
Yeah.
Do not do that.
Yes. Yeah. I think that there's some smoke here.
One thing that she could also do, she could also talk about her husband, be like, all right, look, I know that it's completely irrational that I feel this way, but this certain behavior makes me feel uncomfortable. So if you could limit this behavior, like maybe I could compromise and meet you halfway and be okay with you meeting your friends for coffee.
I'm with Patricia on this one.
She should get a baby monitor.
Something.
Yeah.
Something.
I don't know if the best way to counteract jealousy and hopefully irrational jealousy is by like breaking all norms of trust in the relationship.
If you feel jealousy, don't indulge it. Like that's not your best emotion out there. And if you feel like it's making you feel negative, then I just want to say like, go have a difficult conversation. People are so scared of like talking to their partner about their feelings of jealousy because they don't want to be vulnerable. But you've been with this guy for over a decade. So you should know that he's not going to divorce you because you feel a little weird. No, just be honest with him. He loves you.
Maybe he's going to say that, look, I didn't know how to talk to you about this. I wanted to know if you might be interested in an open relationship.
Oh, that is the theme.
I didn't know how to bring it up.
Yeah. Look, it's better that he say it than he not say it.
Yeah.
He's micro cheating.
Oh my God. We didn't even get into this.
That is not a thing.
It is a thing.
It is not a thing. God.
Nicole says
can you explain? I don't read the newspaper. Yes, can you explain what is micro cheating?
I think micro cheating is when somebody engages in a series of behaviors that don't constitute actual cheating. Like they're not engaging in any kind of physical intimacy, but there's little. Bouts of like kind of emotional intimacy that are taking place. So for example, like
if you have an inside joke with somebody who or is
it could
not
be like I'm sending
other.
Secret texts to somebody and it's not sexual but they're kind of intimate, we have our little jokes and
first
I'm hiding
of all
it from my
are
partner.
People not allowed to like have friendships with other people? Is your relationship supposed to be your sole source
people.
Of your relationship should not be the sole source of meaning in your life, and maybe that's not the case
what
here.
What if he's getting some kind of romantic energy from engaging with these people like late at night? What if they're like watching Cinemax together or something?
First of all, like, oh my God.
Cinemax
like,
and chill? That's
what they watch.
Like, oh my God. Like, if that's going on, then yeah, there's a problem, but it doesn't sound like there's a problem. Like, personally, I wouldn't have a problem if Steve just like wanted to like hang out with a friend after I go to
after
bed.
After you're sleeping,
early.
I'm downstairs. Like, this is a new thing I can do.
Wait, are you worried about the Nick? Watching the Nick?
The Nick?
The Nick.
Oh, that's
what
that's
else
on
is on Cinemax?
Oh, the Cinemax. Like, right. Yeah. Emmanuel.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
anyway.
Let me just say, though, if I told Nicole that, hey, I'm going to have a woman over here tonight after you go to bed, let me just tell you how that would go over. Not well, even if I might have been doing a podcast.
I completely agree with Simone that there's a line and like there's across the line, which is stuff you absolutely shouldn't do. And then there's the stuff that's not across the line. I don't believe in this micro cheating stuff either. Like you can have like rich relationships with people of the opposite gender or of the same gender, and they don't have to be threatening to your primary relationship.
No one relationship is all things to all people. It's not like somebody is going to like meet their perfect partner or their soulmate or whatever their partner is. Like it's
unless
not
you're Nicole.
Yeah. Unless you're look, a person is not going to meet their perfect partner in life and then stop suddenly having needs that are met by other people. Like there's no way that your partner can be interested in everything that you're interested in. And no one person has the range that like a series of different friends can. Like I wouldn't expect that Steve would stop having friends because we're together. Like
no,
those
but nobody's saying
me.
that Patricia's husband can't have friends. But why does he have to hang out with women after she goes to bed at night?
If that's the one part that you're taking issue with, then tell him he probably shouldn't do that because it
makes
you feel uncomfortable.
There's office hours, Mr. Patricia.
All right, then it seems like, all right, if this is the one thing that people are getting caught up on, fix this one thing. The other stuff is not a problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's take a message from Caesar. And he writes to us, he is happy right now in a committed relationship. They met through OkCupid. There you go, Steven. 6 months ago. And he's wondering if it's appropriate that he listens to a podcast focused on how to find dates or relationship problems. Though my girlfriend doesn't watch it, she knows I'm a Survivor fan. She helped soothe me and prevent any chests of drawers from being broken on finale night. And she knows I listen to the Survivor podcast. But if she finds me listening to a dating podcast, is this podcast by the guy that does the Survivor one a good enough explanation for what I'm listening to? Maybe it's normal to listen to a love line kind of thing, but I haven't before. So it feels weird to me. How do I explain it if she catches me listening to that smooth outro jam? Steven, did you know that people were concerned their significant others could find out they're listening to this show?
It makes sense, especially like I can only imagine like the facial expressions one makes when listening to that outro jam, mm-hmm. Just kind of like start like people start just like gesticulating. So I can imagine that would seem weird to their partners.
Okay. Simone, what can he say to Miss Caesar?
First of all, why do you have to justify what you're interested in? If you want to listen to a podcast about love and relationships, listen to a podcast about love and relationships. Like, if they're not okay with you having interests that are non-TV related, like, your partner doesn't get to police what you like and what you don't like.
But sort of they do. I mean, if you were getting like Infidelity Monthly, you know, delivered to your house, you know, your partner might be like, what the heck is this? So like, I think that's Caesar's concern, right?
She just signed up for 4 issues and they keep sending them. I can't cancel.
Yeah.
Just play the podcast for her. She'll realize it's not a serious love and dating podcast.
Yeah. Well, why does she need to know the topic of the podcast? Can you just say, oh, it's Rob as a podcast episode? She's going to ask that many follow-up questions, or is this micro-cheating, Steve?
I don't believe in micro-cheating, and I am going to say that...
It's macro-cheating.
No, I'm going to stand by what I said. Your partner doesn't get license over everything that you do in life. They're your partner. They're not your caretaker. They're not your keeper. And if... You know what? I have no idea what other podcasts you're listening to. Like, if you're really that concerned about her finding your like relationship dating podcast, you need to download medical podcasts, other advice podcasts. You need to download history podcasts, science podcasts.
Confuse her?
Yeah.
Oh, so many podcasts.
Bury it in information so she can't figure out what you're really listening to.
Yeah, bury the lead. Yeah.
Caesar, no, this is what you really need to do, okay? You need a backup iPhone, okay? Maybe you can get like an iPod Wi-Fi. You keep that one under the mattress, okay? And you just take it out when she's not home
to listen to with your lady friend while she's sleeping.
Yeah, or after she goes to bed, you can have a woman come over and listen to it with her. And then you can like give her one earbud and you take the other one. It's very romantic.
Yeah. Or Caesar, we'll send you a transcript of these podcasts.
We'll send you the theme song also. So there you go. But no, I can't imagine that somebody is going to, that their girlfriend is going to say, what? What is this? I mean, are people listening to this are we going to incept people, Simone?
But this isn't even a dating podcast. This is about relationships and improving your relationship with your significant other,
but
too.
But what if she listens to it and hears this question about her?
Well, that's a problem.
Like, I think she'd be more mad.
Look, as far as dating,
that's micro cheating.
Yeah. As far as dating podcasts go, you know, we're pretty vanilla. We tell people to do the right thing. So if anything, she should hear this, listen to us, and feel happy that he wants to seek guidance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She might be mad for other reasons.
Steven, are we being scapegoated? Is she going to break up with this guy anyway? And then we're just going to take the blame.
You know, I think this could, you know, you always hear about these situations where like someone who's completely adamantly opposed to, you know, a podcast starts listening to it. They become obsessed with it. Mm-hmm. You know, suddenly she's a patron. I really think this could be like a gateway podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we need to get her on board.
Yeah, I think if they end up breaking up, Rob, you're responsible for finding him a new significant other.
That's fine.
There's a Chinese proverb that says, if you save a man's life, you're responsible for that life. Rob, this is you in this scenario.
Wow. Okay. So now I got to get this guy a new girlfriend?
You got to save him.
Yeah.
Like, this is what we're doing.
You got to give him a new podcast recommendation.
Like, I got to find him a new podcast or a new girlfriend?
Well, I mean, you know.
I'm not finding him a new podcast. I'll tell you that right now.
I'm one of these people who started making fun of my partner for listening to Rob has a podcast.
Did you want to break up with Steve when you first heard him listening to Rob as a podcast?
No, but we would like watch these Survivor episodes. Then he would tune in to Know It Alls. I'd be like, first of all, these guys are completely wrong. What are they even saying? Like that one guy's fishback has no idea what he's talking about. Yeah. Like, how dare he?
Well, yeah. We have a listener who that she went through a divorce and her ex-husband cited that she listens to Rob's podcast way too much as one of the reasons why it wasn't working. She had that annoying Rob guy on all the time.
Is this true?
Yeah.
Is that a court record?
I don't know if it was
first
in the proceedings.
Rob, this is what you need to do. You need to get your podcast so popular that judges and political officials are listening to your podcast. And so like when the transcript comes out, when the transcript comes out that the reason that you guys are breaking up is because she won't let you listen to this guy who's basically like taking care of people through his voice. That's what you need to do. You need to take care of this woman. Like you... Pretty much that's what we're doing, right? That's what this podcast is.
We're helping people. We're healers, Steven.
We're telling people to
Simone's
do the right thing.
Simone's a hustler. We're healers.
Yeah.
for healing people.
First of all, I know that I was like on the hustler tribe, but I've worked in nonprofit like my entire early career.
You should be a healer or a hero then?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I've never really been profit driven. I'm going to say I am a healer.
Yes.
Because I was a diversity advocate and talked about racism, which is something
either
really
that or
want.
She shouldn't have been on the show.
Whose fault was that?
All right, Stephen, I've got a great voicemail for you. This is from one of our listeners. Her name is Cece, and she is in Hawaii.
Cece,
she has some requests from us. Here's Cece in Hawaii.
Hello, Rob and Stephen. It's Cece here from the Big Island of Hawaii. Longtime Survivor fam. Discovered RHAP last season. Now I'm an avid listener. I was impressed by the know-it-all's advice, and I thought I'd give you guys a call. I'm 71, moved to Hawaii 4 years ago from Southern California, where I met a lot of interesting people on OkCupid, but a tiny population here in comparison. Options are few to non-existent. So I felt like I needed to target my market to find a more suitable guy. So I am applying to your dating service, and like Sarah in Philly, I'd love to get a response. Truth be told, I would like to find a senior version of you, Stephen. I think you
are. Oh my God, this is scandalous.
We have a lot in common. So my question is, do you happen to have an available grandfather or great uncle who would be willing to move to Hawaii for a sensual, fun, and accomplished septuagenarian?
Wow.
Love to hear your comments.
That's
Bye.
This is the
play the outro song now.
That was the greatest voicemail we've ever received.
That was
should
the
we
best
should we
thing.
End the podcast? Should we just
yes.
end this? Like we can't
thank you.
Top
good night.
This. Yeah,
Stephen, do you have an uncle, a older cousin that might be interested in our sensual septuagenarian?
I don't, I'm sorry to say that I would love to set up an uncle or grandparent with Cece. I don't have any available.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stephen, how do you feel that our 71-year-old listener feels like she has a lot in common with you?
I'm incredibly honored. I'm like so tickled. And I really hope that some septuagenarian or out there is like, you know, I've always thought of myself as an older version of Stephen Fishback and was like, and I'm, you know, why not move to Hawaii? And
yeah,
be
sounds
warm
like she's
have,
set up out there. I mean, this could be a great retirement for somebody.
You know what? I say be a cougar. Like, why do you have to just like limit your dating range to people who are in their 70s or older? Like,
so
men
she should
have
go
a,
for a younger Stephen Fishback.
Yeah, maybe she should go for Fishback. Not this Fishback, but other versions of Fishback. I also feel like, come on, like men have a much shorter life expectancy than women. Like, unless you're willing to like dip in the kiddie pool like a little bit, you know, your options are limited.
Right. So if you're a woman, you live long enough, eventually everybody is a cougar, right?
Unless you're a lesbian.
Okay, yeah. Is there a name for that?
Cougar?
No, is it still cougar if you're an older lesbian who was looking for much younger women?
I think you would still be a cougar. You would just also be a lesbian.
Okay, yeah. I would love to hear the answer to that if anybody has that in our audience. Stephen, we got one other question for today, and it's another gray one.
Monica's a lady with a question about vanillas. I wish Julia Lindauer were here. She might be able to answer this. My husband and I are swingers. We have a great time going out together and interacting to various degrees with like-minded couples. This really is a theme of this episode.
Yeah.
But I have a fantasy about seeking out a sexy vanilla non-swinger couple.
Yes, and she's putting in parentheses. A vanilla is what swingers call non-swingers.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Vanilla couple and wooing them to come home with us. First, I'd love to hear how you and your guests...
Is wooing when you take the wrong person to the end with you? Is that what it is? Is that what she's trying to do?
Yeah. First, I'd love to hear how you and your guest and your partners might react initially if such a proposal ever came your way, and what the fallout might be later. Second, do you think it's a moral issue for us to be throwing this sort of opportunity at a couple that may not have discussed swinging before and could potentially make a snap decision that they'd later regret? Thanks, Monica, because I'm a neat lady. And Rob, since you've done some swinger and nudist shaming before, assuming that the people in these lifestyles have the sort of physiques that shouldn't be on display, she included a PG-13 photo.
I need to look at this photo because I'm kind of into this question.
Okay, hold on. No, wait, yeah, when did I do nudist shaming?
I don't know, but I'm sure you did it.
Yeah, and Steven is much more of a nude shamer than I am.
No, I'm the opposite. In fact, one of the most attractive couples I know are swingers, and they at one point invited me to swing with them. Now, of course I didn't do it.
Is this a humble brag?
No. Oh, yeah. It kind of comes off that way. No, but I'm just saying I know beautiful swingers out there.
Okay, so some beautiful swingers have invited Stephen Fishback to be a part of swinging.
Okay, yeah. And that's basically what
you declined?
I declined.
Okay, all right. So who's the swinger shamer now?
I'm not shaming them. I'm embracing their lifestyle using it to accredit myself. Yeah.
Look, all right. First of all, let me absolve you of any moral responsibility. Like, presumably the people that you're hitting on are adults,
right?
And you're, you don't have to take responsibility
for
other
people. That's not your problem if they get divorced because you ask them to swing with you.
Look, if they say yes, then they need to be responsible for their own decisions. Like, if you can't face the consequences of your decisions, like, can you really call yourself an adult? Like, no, not really.
But you were doing them a favor if they got divorced over this.
Yeah, like, if you can't be honest with yourselves, yeah, kind of.
You know, there's a Chinese proverb about this, that if you break it, then you're responsible for it.
You know what? It seems like your fantasy is completely fulfillable. I say keep going for it. Put yourself out there. It might take a few tries, but it seems like this is a very achievable dream. Mm-hmm. And it seems like if you keep setting goals for yourself that are attainable, such as this, like, that's a lot of happiness in your life that you've got coming towards you.
But so one of the questions that Monica is asking is how we and our partners would react if someone proposed this to us and what the fallout might be later. So, you guys, Simone and Steve, you have your respective partners there. How would you react if Monica were saying to you, would you like to swing?
If I got this from Monica or her partner, I would just assume that they only wanted Simone and I was a necessary counterpart. So I wouldn't take it as a compliment.
Yeah. But would you accept?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because they would just ignore me. It would be like a threesome and I'd just be watching from the sidelines. It'd be like...
You don't know that, Steve. You don't know that.
Is that a proposal?
Depends on the couple.
Yeah. Well, Steve, we know where you're at, right?
Yeah, I would not be into this. I mean, I don't.
Regardless of the couple, are you saying regardless of the couple, you would not be Barack and Michelle Obama?
Oh God, no!
That's your ideal swing couple.
That's better.
Whoever your ideal is, like, they come up to you and they're like, "Oh,
for me." And I guess as a vanilla here, I mean that I'm not so bored with, maybe I'm not having enough of a crazy relationship that I'm bored that I'm needing to mix things up here.
Look, just go out, get your people. Like, just because like you're talking to a bunch of nerds on this podcast doesn't mean that we're representative of all the population out there. You're going to find your vanilla couple.
In terms of actual advice for Monica here, what is the move? If she wants to approach one of these vanilla couples?
You know, a lot of times, like in the safety of a relationship, you feel like it's okay to flirt with other people because you know that it's not going to go anywhere. So I say what you should probably do is start flirting with this other couple. And if you feel like the chemistry is ramping up, like in what would otherwise be a pretty innocent situation, you feel like you're getting the signals from them that they could be possibly open-minded, I say just ask them. But don't ask them outright without flirting with them first, because if you don't like warm the pot a little bit, then you're not really going to get the response that you want in any situation. Because if you ask anybody cold, like if somebody just asked me to have sex without, flirting with me in the first place, which is something that I guess like happens when you online date.
Mm-hmm.
then there's no way that I would be receptive to that.
Okay. Tell me if this would work as an opener. What if Monica and her husband, I'm presuming his name is Brad, and they say, hey, do you guys listen to the Love Know-It-Alls by any chance?
Uh-oh, that could be a deal breaker.
I ask almost everybody I meet if they listen to podcasts, and that's probably why I was voted first off my tribe.
Yes, you really, you do?
Yeah, everybody.
And you like, feel like it is not a strong opener?
Well, you know, like, okay, so it's not a strong opener if they say no, but if they say yes, then you get to list out every single thing about that person. And I feel like if a person tells you like 3-4 podcasts, then that's it. You know everything about them. Yes. That's everything that there is to know.
Okay, so this is tying this all together. This is like for a bisexual person, our person who's in an open relationship. You say that even if it is going to end up with a majority of people saying no and looking at you crazy, saying, I don't know what you're talking about. If you can find that yes, then you found your person and you're all set. Don't be so afraid of the rejection in the filtering.
Have you ever heard about that saying like, oh, if you are about to have sex with someone, you go over their house, they don't have books, don't fuck them?
I've never heard that.
Yeah, so it was like this
whole... Who said that, Steven?
It was definitely nerds. Yeah, well, it was definitely some Columbia students.
Did you hear this
like,
at a top five school?
I did. Yeah. I did. I'm so guilty of that. But yeah, it was about how like people never read anymore and how dare they and blah, 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 blah. But... You know, I don't.
Could you imagine you get a girl back to your house and she's like, ah,
"Where's
not
your
enough
book?
Books? I'm sorry, I have to go."
And it's like you should, yeah. And your Kindle. You shouldn't. You should. You know, you
like,
left your
me
Kindle
a
in your closet.
Hours, I have Prime.
Yeah, it's the same, but with podcasts.
Wow. Okay. Is that a thing? If people don't have podcasts on their phone, then also that's a deal breaker.
Look, if you don't listen to
see, now
podcasts,
I know why
like,
you're with Steve.
If you don't listen to podcasts, like I'm gonna take. Like, it's going to take me that much longer for me to get to know you.
Okay. This was a great chat. We've learned a lot today about everybody here and very enlightened. Steven, how are you feeling?
This was intense. I mean, really, I feel like the questions are just getting more and more, fascinating.
We're pushing the envelope here. What was more enlightening, Steven, this or Paddington 2?
I mean, nothing beats Paddington 2. That's not a fair comparison.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. So if we could, I'd love to use our hashtag sensual septuagenarian to try to find somebody for CC. Next week on the podcast, I'm very excited. We're going to be joined by the purple pants badass Bryce Ooh. Isaiah, presuming he is not tailgating the Super Bowl all weekend.
It's
He's
a lot.
Very excited about the Philadelphia Eagles. And so we'll have to talk to him about all the greased poles and everything going on in Philadelphia. So excited for that. Simone and Steve, thank you guys so much for joining us here in the studio.
Thank you for having us. Like I really had a blast, but it was a little bit more vanilla than I expected.
Yo, it was more vanilla. This was our most non-vanilla episode ever.
What were you expecting?
All right.
And vanilla is a delicious flavor. Let's just get that out there.
Yeah, I like vanilla.
Yeah. Children clamor for the taste of vanilla. Yeah. And, you know, Steven, that from the moment that we announced that we were going to do this, I think the first message I got was Simone that said, hey, if you're looking for anybody to help with the dating, the relationship advice, call me. I've got it on lockdown.
Oh, she did. And she did.
I've basically not been single for more than a period of 6 months since I was 14
That's
years old.
That's how good she is.
I love giving people relationship advice. Like it's probably a little unhealthy.
Okay, why? This was all very healthy advice. We covered the gamut today. If Simone, if people want to follow you on social media, are you encouraging that?
Oh yeah, sure. I'm sorry. I'm really not like super active on it. But if you tweet at
only
me,
only when
I'll,
Jessica Lewis gets it all wrong. All right. Well, Simone, thank you so much. And Steve, thank you as well. Steven Fishback, anything else?
No, this was great.
Okay. All right. Steven, will you be telling us which of our emailers got the fishy this week?
I mean, obviously Cece. Oh, she's not an emailer, but she obviously gets the fishy.
All right. All right. Send us your calls next week, KIA@robhasawebsite.com, or go to robhasawebsite.com/voicemail for that. And then, of course, we will take you out with the sultry sounds of Will from America here on the Love Know-It-Alls.
I'm into this.
The hottest hunks around are about to go to town. they've done the deed a million times. Well, actually, they never really get laid at all. They're gonna blow you up.
Not yet.